So thank you, everyone, for coming. We're continuing with Srimad Bhagavatam discourses. And today it's Canto 5, Chapter 23, Verse 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tuto Jaya Mudiraya Nasta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our first very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances under the personality of Godhead Narayan, under Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our dearmost spiritual master. A regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and thus loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental storms, is established as an irrevocable fact. So this is prose. I'll just try to get through this once, and then we can do the word for word. Unless, are there any brave or experienced Sanskrit prose reciters here? Abhuji?
Sahi sarvesham jyotir gananam graha nakshradinam animishena vyakta ranghasa Bhagavata Kalena Brahmyamananam Stanur Ivavashtamba Ishvarena Vihita Shashvar Avabhashate.
Word for word, can we repeat, please?
Saha.
That planet of Dhruva Maharaj.
He.
Indeed.
Sarvesham.
Of all,
Jyoti Ghananam,
the luminaries,
Graha Nakshatra Adinam,
such as the planets and stars,
Animishena,
who does not rest,
Avyakta,
inconceivable,
Ranghasa,
whose force,
Bhagavata,
the most powerful,
Kalena,
by the time factor,
Brahmyamananam,
being caused to revolve,
Shtanuiva,
like a post,
Avashtamba,
the pivot,
Isvarena,
by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Vihita,
established,
Sashvat,
constantly,
Avabhashate,
shines. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Established by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pole star, which is a planet of Dhruva which is the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, constantly shines as a central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation. Can repeat, please. Established by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The pole star, which is the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, constantly shines as the central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is distinctly stated herein that all the luminaries, the planets and stars, revolve by the influence of the supreme time factor. The time factor is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under the influence of the time factor. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind and loves his devotee, Maharaj Dhruva, so much that he has placed all the luminaries under the control of Dhruva's planet and has arranged for the time factor to work under him or with his cooperation. Everything is actually done according to the will and direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to make his devotee Dhruva the most important individual within the universe, the Lord has placed the activities of the time factor under his control. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmayushi Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dharati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Advaitam Savarutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvare Vishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Vidhitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Translation once again. Established by the Supreme Will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pole star, which is the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, constantly shines as a central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation. This is verse 2 of a new chapter 23, this Shishumar planetary system. And we're set straight right from the beginning here of who's in charge of this planetary system. Everything is revolving around Dhruva's planet. It's said that a Vaishnava, I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. Did it say? Okay. Actually, maybe I should read the chapter summary also. Would that be good? Sorry about that. Chapter 23, the Shishumara Planetary System. This chapter describes how all the planetary systems take shelter of the pole star Dhruvaloka. It also describes the totality of these planetary systems to be Shishumara, another expansion of the external body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhruvaloka, the abode of Lord Vishnu within this universe, is situated. Jai Shishigorni Tai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyama Suna Lalita Vishaka, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakta Sananta, Shalagram, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Dhruvaloka, the abode of Lord Vishnu within this universe, is situated 1,300,000 yojanas from the seven stars. In the planetary system of Dhruvaloka are the planets of the fire god Indra, Prajapati, Kasyapa, and Dharma, all of whom are very respectful to the great devotee Dhruva, who lives on the pole star. Like bulls yoked to a central pivot, all the planetary systems revolve around Dhruvaloka, impelled by eternal time, which of course we read about directly in this verse that we just read. Those who worship the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, conceive of the entire rotating system of planets as an animal known as Shishumar. This imaginary Shishumar is another form of the Lord. The head of the Shishumar form is downward, and its body appears like that of a coiled snake. On the end of its tail is Dhruvaloka. On the body of the tail are Prajapati, Agni, Indra, and Dharma. And on the root of the tail are Datta and Vidatta. On its waist are the seven great sages. The entire body of this Shishumar faces toward its right and appears like a coil of stars. On the right side of this coil are the 14 prominent stars from Avijit to Purnavashu, and on the left side are the 14 prominent stars from Pusya to Uttarasada. The stars known as Purnavasu and Pusya are on the right and left hips of the Shishumar, and the stars known as Ardra and Islesha are on the right and left feet of the Shishumar. Other stars are also fixed on different sides of the Shishumar planetary system, according to the calculations of Vedic astronomers. To concentrate their minds, yogis worship the Shishumar planetary system, which is technically known as the Kundalini Chakra. Text 1. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, 1,300,000 yojanas, or 10,400,000 miles, above the planets of the seven sages, is a place that learned scholars describe as the abode of Lord Vishnu. There, the son of Maharaj Uttanapad, the great devotee Maharaj Dhruva, still resides as the life source of all the living entities who live until the end of the creation. Agni, Indra, Prajapati, Kasyapa, and Dharma all assemble there to offer him honor and respectful obeisances. They circumambulate him with their right side toward him. I've already described the glorious activities of Maharaj Dhruva in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam." So who says Vaishnav isn't powerful? How powerful is Maharaj Dhruva? We can only imagine. And the story of Dhruva Maharaj, of course, It's so incredible how a young boy, 5 years old, Kshatriya family, who couldn't sit on the lap of his king, became so angry and retreated to the forest. And as instructed by his spiritual master, Narada Muni, engaged in such austere penance and austerity that within a short period of time, he had rendered the entire universe breathless and pleaded by all the different demigods in the universe and satisfied by Maharaj Dhruva, 5-year-old boy in the middle of, I think it was Madhuvan forest here in Vrindavan. Little 5-year-old boy Dhruva, who was meditating within his heart on the personality of Godhead, and seeing his form within the heart, his meditation broke, and in great anxiety opened his eyes, and there is Krishnagarbha, beautiful four-armed form of the Lord, standing in front of him. And then it's explained that Dhruva, 5-year-old boy, what did he know? But the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, just touched his head with his conch shell, and all beautiful, all the Vedic conclusions and so many beautiful prayers then emanated from the mouth of Dhruva Maharaj. And of course, one of his first prayers was that, my Lord, I've been searching for broken pieces of glass, but I've found a great jewel. And but Krishna is, we can only imagine how magnanimous Krishna is. Akama sarvakamova mokshakamudaridi tivrena bhakti yogine yajeta purusham param. We've heard about how powerful the process of devotional service is compared with the early morning light rays, that when there's heavy fog, those first rays immediately dissipate that fog. So no matter what condition one approaches the Lord, Krishna is so magnanimous and so pleased, because Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Rishadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The learner, the living entity is searching after falling in the material world for Krishna through innumerable millions and millions of different species of life. And finally he gets the chance to get a bona fide spiritual master and take up the process of Krishna consciousness again. Just even in a mundane sense, if a father, if a rich father's son may somehow become separated from him due to some delusion, Prabhupada gives this example, and be wandering in the street, homeless, and in total abject poverty, and then all of a sudden someone might come by and recognize him. Wait a minute, I know who you are. You're the son of such and such rich man, don't you remember? And the man's like, no, I don't remember. And then he takes the boy home and introduces him to his father. We can only imagine how happy that father is. So we are all the children of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And he's so happy when we take up the process of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada has said that When we take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards us. And that it's also said in a similar way that God has 10 hands and we have 2 hands. So with our 2 hands, what can we be able to accept from God who has 10 hands? He's always willing and eager to give us much more than we actually know how to receive. So this process of sadhana bhakti is a process of learning again how to receive. And that process takes a while because we've been in the material world for a very long, 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 long time. The phrase used to describe us is eternally conditioned, because it's said that it's impossible to trace out the beginning of when we actually first became conditioned. So we're struggling within this world. We're struggling within this life, short lifetime, with our own mind and our own senses. But there's a saying, it says, don't sweat the small stuff. And the reason is because it's all small stuff. Everything in this life is really all small stuff. It's really insignificant compared to how long our subtle body, our mind, intelligence and false ego has been in this material world. And we can only imagine how many innumerable lifetimes, how much bewilderment is there in our mind, how many sense impressions from different sinful activities we performed in many other lifetimes as human beings and in previous lifetimes. So Srila Prabhupada says, don't be surprised when someone leaves Krishna consciousness. Be surprised when someone stays. Although the process, in one sense, is very simple. But as Prabhupada explains, it's simple for the simple-minded. And generally in Kali Yuga, no one is simple-minded. We're very complex. It's a very nice verse that explains our predicament in this material world. And how we should endeavor. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 18. Srila Prabhupada often quotes this famous verse. Tasyaiva heto payate tukovido talabhyate yad brahmatam uparyada talabhyate dugavad anyata shukam kalena sarvatra kabira ranghasa. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet Brahmaloka down to the lowest planet Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. How many lectures, how many classes, how many room conversations is there where Srila Prabhupada is talking about this fact? And this, I know from personal experience, is such a difficult thing for my conditioned mind to wrap around it, because I'm still so convinced that I'm the doer of my activities. And simply if I endeavor a little bit more, then I'll get more of what I'm looking for. But Srimad Bhagavatam says no. And all the sages and acharyas, Srila Prabhupada says no. That's not the way it works. We're getting miseries, although we don't desire them. How many people here wake up in the morning and say, gee, I really want some miseries to come. I've been having too much happiness in the last few days. I really wish some more miseries would come. Nobody says that, ever, but they always come. But what we don't realize is actually in the same way, our happiness is also coming, even if we don't endeavor for it. This is one of the secrets of devotional service. And as Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaishvarya Prashaktanam Tayaparita Chetasam Vyavaseyat Miktabuddhi Samadova Navidiyate, that this Vyasayatmika Buddhi, this fixed up intelligence, this unwavering intelligence that is essential, indispensable for us to have, to steadily advance in Krishna consciousness. We cannot gain this if we are bewildered by the enamor of material things. And if we think, according to this philosophy, that if we simply endeavor more, that we'll become happier. Let's read some of Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, shall we? Every man everywhere is trying to obtain the greatest amount of sense enjoyment by various endeavors. Some men are busy engaged in trade, industry, economic development, political supremacy, etc. And some of them are engaged in fruitive work to become happy in the next life by attaining the higher planets. It is said that on the moon the inhabitants are fit for greater sense enjoyment by drinking somaras, and the pitri loka is obtained by good charitable work. So there are various programs for sense enjoyment either during this life or in the life after death. Some are trying to reach the moon or other planets by some mechanical arrangement, for they are very anxious to get into such planets without doing good work. But it is not to happen. By the law of the Supreme, different places are meant for different grades of living beings according to the work they have performed. By good work only, as prescribed in the scriptures, can one obtain birth in a good family, opulence, good education, and good bodily features. We see also that even in this life, one obtains a good education or money by good work. Similarly, in our next birth, we get such desirable positions only by good work. Otherwise, it would not so happen. Two persons born in the same place at the same time are seen differently placed according to our own work. The philosophically inclined person must not be tempted by such changeable positions. He should try to get into the permanent life of bliss and knowledge, where he will not be forced to come back again into the material world, either in this or in that planet. So the time factor was mentioned in this verse. And very nicely it mentioned. How the unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation. The time factor is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within this world. And to the extent we can gauge or judge or measure our advancement in Krishna consciousness, I would say, in terms of how we are understanding the time factor to be non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It says that a devotee should not waste a moment outside of Krishna consciousness. And so realizing that Krishna is present as the time factor, realizing that we have very little time left in this temporary material body. Therefore, a devotee who is advancing in Krishna consciousness, he's very conscious to not waste time. And we can all look back on the activities we perform from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. And we should indeed look back and say, and see how have we utilized our time for serving Krishna. And we should be introspective like that. That will help us. Very nice quote from the Mahabharata. When Yamaraj, disguised the Yaksha, was asking different questions of Maharaj Yudhisthira, he asked him, "What is the news? What is the news of this world?" And King Yudhisthira said, "The news is that this material world is like a frying pan. The sun is the fire under that pan. The days and nights are the fuel. Or no, I think the months and the... I think it said... Anyway, it says that the time factor is the cook who's cooking all the living entities within this world. So by the passing of every day and every month, and due to the sun's influence, we are decreasing our span of life, just like it's very nicely explained also in the Bhagavatam. That ayur harati vaipumsam udyam ashtam chayan asau yasyarte yat kshanonita utama shloka vartaya. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. So this is the caveat. This is the secret of devotional service that we can't understand simply by licking the outside of the jar of honey. We actually have to open it up and taste the honey. And we get a little bit of taste. This is the whole process of this whole morning program. And it's so powerful that, you know, as we go through the process of getting up early, taking shower, doing our ablutions, going to Mangal Artik, chanting our japa with the devotees, tending Tulsi Artik, Guru Puja, greeting the deities, and then Srimad Bhagavatam class, we can feel our creeper start to break through the coverings of the universe. We start to feel blissful. But it doesn't mean that after Srimad Bhagavatam class, and then there's prasadam, and then our day is done, and then we can concentrate on our material activities. No, we've simply gained the impetus to organize our day in such a way to see how we can increase our hearing and chanting. Because the extent that we are absorbed in hearing and chanting, to that extent will be not decreasing our life by the movement of the sun and by movement of time, as is explained. There's many reports of people who have spent time with people who are about to die. And the biggest lamentation of people who have gone through their lives, many of them very prominent businessmen. In fact, there's one man who is the assistant, personal assistant of George W. Bush, former president of the United States. He was one of his main policymakers. We can understand what a powerful position, one of the most powerful positions in the country. And this man had so many people who were, you know, under him and looking up to him for respect. And all of a sudden, at one point, he got a brain tumor. And when he was on his deathbed, preparing to leave his body, his biggest lamentation, he told everyone, is he wasn't able to spend a little more time with his wife and family, and that he wasn't able to, in that way, you know, get a little more free time to enjoy himself. So people in this world are working so hard, and the illusion has become so convincing because of rampant materialism that there is some scarcity in this world. And if we just endeavor a little bit more, that we'll actually get all the things that we need in life. But actually, all we need in life is happiness. Because when it comes down to it, that's the only measure of success in life. Because everything else is gone at the time of death. And so when we're practicing Krishna consciousness during this life, and we're preparing ourselves for the point of death, we can actually get to the point where we're so absorbed in Krishna's pastimes that the miseries that come at old age, and if you've ever had a relative that's dying, or if you've ever seen people on their deathbed, the state of utter confusion and bewilderment and hopelessness is practically indescribable. And the great illusion, and the other thing that Yudhisthira Maharaj said, is that the most amazing thing in this world is that we're all seeing that everyone is dying. All the insects, all the animals are dying. Many of our relatives have died and are dying. And actually, we are also in the process of dying. This is what we don't realize. Srila Prabhupada has many times mentioned and said in his preaching that we have no idea who's going to die first. I'm an old man. It seems like I may die first. You're a young man. But especially in this unpredictable world, we can just go out front. Some of these trucks are going by so fast on the Parikrama Marg that just one slight misstep and you're finished. I had a good friend when I was living in San Francisco, and he was a devotee. He was also very active, and he was always into sports. He would like to go skiing and different things, and I used to go with him sometimes, and we used to go into Golden Gate Park and do some jogging, do a little exercise like that. So one day he left a recording on my message inviting me to come to the park with him and do some jogging. And I got the message later, so I wasn't able to go. And all of a sudden, one of his family members called me up later in the day and said that a truck was barreling down through Golden Gate Park in San Francisco at a very high speed. And he happened to, the guy was drunk or something, and my friend was jogging, happened to jog just a little bit too far to the left in front of the truck. The truck hit him, he flew way up in the air, and he was a very strong young man, about 30 years old. He was he would compete in something called speed skiing, where they would he was in Chile, it was very popular down there. They would start at the top of the mountain, and they would go all the way down, straight, without stopping or anything, at breakneck speed. And so he was very physical fit. In an instant, he was smashed on the concrete. He was in a coma in the hospital. And that night, he left his body. So unpredictable that this life we have, we don't realize how valuable it is. And we're able, in this process of devotional service, to establish a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is so magnanimous, who is so much wanting to give us so much. And especially, we're in Vrindavan. And every activity we perform in devotional service here is 1,000 times more powerful than being performed anywhere else on the planet, practically. And actually, Purushottama Mass is coming up on the 15th. And I heard for that month, it's even 16 times more powerful than that. So we really have no excuse. Therefore, we should execute our activities in devotional service. We should always execute our activities according to the example and instruction of the previous acharyas. And so Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī explains very nicely in his Upadeshamrita that atyahara prayasas cha prajalpo niyamagraha. He tells us how we cannot waste time and become aware and properly respect Krishna as the time factor. And he says that one shouldn't eat too much atyahara or collect too much. One shouldn't engage in prajalpa, in unnecessary talking. So we should limit our activities that have to deal with mundane subject matters. Niyamagraha, we should be conscious that we're not following the rules and regulations just for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. We should become introspective and understand that if we're not coming to a more spontaneous platform of devotional service, then there are certain impediments. There's anarthas that we have. They're impeding our progress. And we should, Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura has very explicitly explained what these anarthas are, how the different demons who were killed by Krishna are different, are anarthas taking that different form. And so we should become aware of what those anarthas are, and we should find the means, ways and means through association with the devotees, through executing our service with enthusiasm. And enthusiasm doesn't mean that when we feel enthusiastic, we're enthusiastic. It means gratitude. It means showing people, Krishna, that we're grateful for all of the unlimited benefits that he's given us. Attitude is a big part of enthusiasm. Having the right attitude. An attitude comes by practice. It isn't something that just kind of falls on us, or we wake up one day and all of a sudden we have the right attitude. And sometimes we may have the mindset that, I'll just kind of drudgingly go on with my sadhana bhakti until Krishna gives me some enthusiasm or some attitude. No, but we force ourselves to be enthusiastic. Sometimes when we don't, want to, we do it. Also, one thing was explained very nicely by another devotee to me, how in the previous chapter we were reading about how this, title of the previous chapter, but it was about how the movements of the planets, and how we learned about how incredibly regulated and exact those planets' orbits are, and how when there's simply a little bit of deviation to the exact orbit and plan they follow, how there's all kind of disruption in the universe that happens because of that. So similarly, I think there's a nice analogy in how we perform our process of sadhana bhakti. And when we perform it in a process that's very regulated, I mean, sometimes we think, just like during Bhagavatam class here, How many devotees from the Brahmacharya Ashram, for example, are actually here in Bhagavatam class? And I'm sure some of them are probably maybe doing other service and listening to it elsewhere. But a lot of times as we go on in Krishna consciousness, we start thinking that, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, I don't really like sitting in class so much. I'd rather do something else. We are told that Bhagavatam class is so incredibly powerful that it practically reduces to nil everything that's inauspicious within our heart. I asked this question to Gopi Puranadana Prabhu one time. I said, you know, different people are giving Bhagavatam class, and you know, what's the potency of maybe someone who gives class who's maybe not so learned or not so expert, or who maybe we don't like his class so much? And he looked at me, he said, Srimad Bhagavatam is so incredibly powerful that if we just hear, if we just pick up, if we hear properly, this is the, you know, there is just like in the process of accepting a spiritual master, it's not just the spiritual master that has to be bona fide, but for the proper, for spiritual knowledge to be properly transmitted and received, the disciple also has to be bona fide. So if we're actually hearing properly, he said, anything anyone speaks in Srimad Bhagavatam class is so incredibly powerful. Just a small, insignificant shadow of a drop of the nectar that is available in Srimad Bhagavatam can totally wipe out our material conditioning like that. So anyway, it's a little bit over time. I think we'll stop here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. And any questions or comments? Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.